Otherwise, I will come down.
Yes, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stretch.
They have a talk right now, and someone is just finishing talking there. And they will jump in right when he's done. Now you can do the wave.
Is working or not? No? This is working, but not the streaming. Okay. So the topic is decisions, decisions, decisions. How to make good decisions, I would guess.
Most likely, yeah.
And presenter is Vasilios, and it's about security governance in highly constrained and dynamic networks. Very military. C2 is command control, and isn't that also C3? Command control communication, and C3I, command control communication and intelligence.
C4I, command.
If I remember well, from 1980s.
Yes.
These are terms from
still the same.
Very old terms. Okay, and then Vasilios comes from Thessaloniki, which is a very large city in Greece, the second largest in Greece. Mm-hmm. In 2011, he completed his bachelor degree in electronics engineering and continued his studies with the wireless communication systems, Brunel University of London. During and after this period, Vasilios has been employed as an automation systems designer, core network engineer, and in research projects related to network security, critical infrastructure security, and system usability. During June of 2014, Vasilios came to Gjøvik and joined the critical infrastructure group of the former Norwegian Information Security Lab, NIS Lab, and he was working as a PhD research fellow at the European Defense Agency project Tactics, which is tactical service-oriented architecture. And then the last sentence here says, ever since he is enjoying the Norwegian nature and hospitality, while having successfully survived and enjoyed his third Norwegian winter, which is very difficult for a Greek.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you all for coming, despite the competition I'm facing today. And decisions in my context, which is tactical networks, and I had to make a decision where Ursula asked me to take this last session of the NIS seminars, and how to come up with a good presentation for the last NIS seminar. And I made this decision. Okay. Huh? Isn't it good? Yes. Okay. So it starts with the context of my research is, as Slobodan described, C2 systems, command and control, and decision-making or policy-making in tactical networks. So the first thing to discuss about that is trying to adopt that scenario that is in the abstract. Like, we have to make a very significant decision in terms of contact, in terms of impact, during a military operation. We have a commanding officer that has to make this decision, and upon this decision depends lives. So, how do we make decisions? In general, humans, when we have to decide something. Yes? Exactly. So we implemented that in the following sense. We try to model it. So we make decisions according to, let's say, we formulate specific equations as we grow up. Some of them are given to us, and some of them are formulated according to our experience, like what are we going to have for dinner, or something similar. And there are simple decisions that we make, like how do you decide, Gauda, if you like a food or not? See, it's simple. Good. But how do you decide if you like a person or not? Not taste. Exactly. So there are simple decisions and complicated decisions. And we formulate this at the beginning of our life. We are given this set of equations, this set of rules according to which we govern our lives and our decisions. And as we grow up, we gain experience. And we continue making false decisions. So, if we have like that, like if we like a food or not, yeah, it's taste, it's how it looks and how it smells and so on. And then if I tell you the name of a Greek food that you have never seen ever before, then what? I mean, there is this thing that partial knowledge, humans make decisions according to partial knowledge. We have some inputs into these equations that we have in our minds. we might know that a specific element into this equation that or whether we want to cooperate with someone. Even in our labs, we can know the academic record, we can know what kind of person that person is, we can know specific components, but normally we don't know everything. We take risks as humans. But we cannot do it here, because we cannot, of course, there is never a complete certainty. But still, in a system, when we are trying to govern a system and try to make decisions about which message is prioritized, when we have two messages to forward through a constrained network, and one of them is a medevac request that requires a helicopter to take someone who is wounded, and the other one is an alert, like in the abstract, that might save some lives. Which message do we prioritize? And we cannot take that sort of risks or make partial decisions or make decisions according to partial knowledge. We need a very solid framework for these decisions. And the other thing is trust. Trust in the sense that as we humans do not know anything, we do not know everything when we make a decision, and we rely on inputs from others to tell you that food is good. I've tasted it. It's nice. Have a look. It's the same here. When we have a network and we have nodes, that most of them cannot actually work as standalone and provide all the functionalities that they are expected to provide. Then we need to cooperate, and then we need a very solid trust framework. So this is what we have been trying to do in a very, very abstract level. We try to formulate a decision-making system that imitates this equation-based decision process. And the two fundamental components is partial knowledge, or obtaining as much information as it's needed, the information that is needed to make a decision with certain confidence. And the other thing is trust within the network. So, talking about trust, I'm sorry. Okay, and now we start. So, what we did through tactics, there are three components, and my PhD is based on these, and it mirrors the work that we have done within tactics as NTNU, representing and being the main responsible for the security components of the project. I'm sorry. The first thing is to analyze the environment. Identify requirements in the sense of security requirements, like protection goals that we need to satisfy, functional requirements, how this system should work, and of course, through the environmental analysis to see what are the constraints that we need to face and maintain operability despite these constraints. The second component is the development of the service-oriented architecture for tactical networks, which is practically is the set of security services that will operate within the network, within the system, and provide the functionalities that we want. And a security policy framework that actually is the decision system behind all this, governing how the services work according to network conditions. And security policies, despite the lies that the management group has been saying us for years, it's not a paper that comes after, it's not a big report that comes after a risk analysis. It's actually a component of a system. So, talking a little bit about tactics. It's a project that has been funded by the European Defense Agency. We are many partners, and we work here at the tactical domain. And we try to apply service-oriented architectures at the tactical domain and see, actually, it's the first proof of concept that SOA, realistic SOA. Yes? This. No infrastructure. And Actually, that's the thing, no infrastructure. At this point, there is a backbone infrastructure that can support all the functionalities that are required. At the tactical domain, we deploy the assets, which can be anything. Can be frigates, airplanes, soldiers with handheld devices, vehicles, sensors. And we need to integrate all this into a system, maintaining interoperability between the two, and maintaining additional consistency in here. So we cannot deploy a different system to the frigate and a different system to the handheld device. They have to be operable at the same time. So what we try to do, these are some of the constraints that have been identified. No guaranteed connectivity, no guaranteed service delivery, no guaranteed data delivery, resource constrained devices, down to a level, and error prone, low bandwidth, and so on. And this is what we wanted to achieve. Robust communications, smart communication infrastructure, a change of cross-layer information, and so on. So, analyzing the environment, I'm not going to give you any results. I'm just going to give you reasons to come to the defense. So, analyzing the environment, these three studies analyze the environment the way we see it through tactics. And the core requirement, because there have been projects before tactics trying to implement SOA in the tactical networks, the difference and the key requirement that we got from the Ministers of Defense of the participating nations was make it realistic. It has to be realistic to the real constraints that we are facing now in the areas of operation that we are operating now and in the next X years. So we started with this one, the first one, which is it's a risk analysis, actually. It provides a set of security requirements that need to be satisfied, and continued with the second one, which analyzed how the system should behave according to the constraints that have been identified. And the third one is mostly technical, presenting what technical requirements the services that we deploy need to satisfy in order to be operable into the environment that we working in. Going on the second component, the services themselves, is a very high-level view of what has been created within tactics. And actually, this is the main contribution of tactics, the SOA, the services and the architecture itself. So what we made, all the partners within tactics, is a middleware that sits between the information system and the radio access, and controls, manipulates, changes, modifies traffic that goes downwards or upwards. And it has been divided in two parallel stacks of services, which is the processing pipeline and the controller. And the processing pipeline itself is separated in three layers, the service mediator, the message handler, and the packet handler, which what they actually do is to do. They have different services that modify messages or govern messages, sessions, or packets as they transition from the information system to the radio access to be transmitted to the network or upwards. And the controller is there to govern everything. So let's say here in the processing pipeline, where is it? In the processing pipeline, we have a set of services, which is much more. This is just indicative. There are much more services in every layer that they do the modifications at the session or the service invocation level or the message level or the packet level. And on the other hand, we have the controller that has the intelligence of the entire system and monitors what happens here and governs what happens here. The yellow ones, and this is an exhaustive minor, the functional services, these are the actual core security services that we developed and deployed. So what we have is the security handling service, which monitors network parameters, identifies requirements for a specific action, and stores pre-computed policy decisions. Which actually what happens is the controller of the controlling services, it identifies that something is wrong, something needs to happen, or someone asked some action and I need to react with a security decision, security related policy decision. I have the policy management service which resolves the action request in accordance to the current network parameters and transfers them for enforcement. This is the second level of service that is doing management at the second layer, at the second level, for a specific action. Given that we have detected an intrusion and we need to take action, at this point, at the security handling service point, it will be generic. Okay, something happened, I need to react. And this invocation will go to the policy management service, will analyze what happened, and bring out facilitate the decision process from the other services to bring out a policy decision. Then we have the policy decision points, which contains the policy rules, which are the equations that we talked about. The metadata handling service, which incorporates static and dynamic attributes, and this is where the reasoning happens. And actually, this has been ontologically defined in the sense that we build a service that contains an ontology which describes the entire tactical environment and all the components that have been deployed in six elements. It describes the services and the interactions between the services, where each service is deployed, radios that are available, nodes that are available, entities, users that are available or will require or have some functionality in the network, and in pieces of information and so on. We have the contextual monitoring service, which is actually a mirror of the metadata handling service, but it's not built as an ontology, it's built as a database. And what it does, it stores dynamic attributes. So it stores the trust level of the nodes, which might change. It stores the packet error rate, which will change. And it's built as a database because we wanted these two things. To monitor timely values and compute statistical and aggregated results, values of these components. In the sense that we might have a policy rule, and if we have the capacity to facilitate the policy rule to make a decision according to the current packet error rate, we will do that. But if we degrade the policy rule because we cannot reason at the moment, or yes?
Is this architecture evenly distributed throughout the nodes of the network, or is it centrally located with some master nodes?
No, it is distributed across all the nodes.
Okay.
Different instances, though. What I mean is that in the example of in the two edges, like we have the frigate and we have the handheld device, it will still have the same architecture, the same top-level architecture. There will still be a processing pipeline and a controller. It will not have, probably, it will not have all the services in here. In here, it might be 30 or 40 services. The handheld device will not have them all. All will have different instances of them. Or, in that sense, the metadata handling service is, as I said, an ontology. If we want to we have the entire model that describes the entire, all the deployed assets and their interactions and everything. These will be deployed in a node that can support it. And a sensor doesn't need it. It just needs that collects weather data, the weather information, let's say. Doesn't need it. It still needs to make some decisions, so it will have a fragment on it. It will still have the service, but the component inside the service, like the ontology that describes, it will only have a fraction of it to facilitate reasoning and so on.
The reason why I asked is that you mentioned the trust ontology. And I was wondering, the picture of the trust of the network.
Yeah.
So essentially, is that mediated centrally, or is it mediated locally? The nodes mediate their trust with each other?
Both, sort of, both, in that sense. Because there is going to be a local. The decisions are made in a locally based best effort, which means that I have a local value. It's the same way if we discuss about a restaurant at Jovik. I have my own perception of it. And you might have a different perception of it, and then the owner might come and say, it sucks, don't go. But I still need to have some sort of information to make an educated decision my own, on my own. Okay? So, and the policy enforcement point, which is here, it's the only service that is deployed in the processing pipeline in three instances, and they are distinct depending on if we make changes in the service, in the session level, or on the message level, or on the packet level. These are the core services. Another component that I didn't put in, and it was a major work within tactics from our group, was the functional services. And the functional services also exist here. And what they do is, we had to investigate encryption algorithms. What would be efficient? What would work in tactical network? Intrusion detection systems. What would work in a tactical network? So we made recommendations for all these components to satisfy all the security goals that we identified in previous studies. And all these are instantiated as functional services. So there is a functional service in here which is governed by the local PEP that does encryption. It's not part of the core architecture because actually we recommended, and mainly the requirement was to be open access. So we recommended some frameworks, we recommended some tools to be done, but of course when the Norwegian armed forces or the German or the Italian that will take that or took it already, they are going to implement their own systems, what they have internally and so on. So how to facilitate in different types of nodes, constrained nodes and otherwise, that was a big headache actually. So one point that we actually tried to adjust was that these services will exist everywhere, but there's going to be different instances and at different extent. The other thing is we tried to put that into the system, and this is the two decision making processes. So when we get a request for a policy decision, we are going to have pre-computed decisions up there. Meaning that if I have this type of message, I can define a range in one of these values. We define a range in one of these values based on which we support our decision. And say, for this range, you do that, period. So what happens is we get a request, we check if the current network conditions make this pre-computed or hard-coded policy decision valid, and then we just send it out. If that's not enough and we need to negotiate and we also have the resources to do it, then we go through a full policy extraction, policy decision extraction process where we say, putting it simply, we say here, okay, this happened or this is what we have been asked to do. Okay, to that, we have this range of actions that we can take. For this specific action, which has been the first priority action in that scenario, I have that set of rules that govern it. Bring me out a policy decision. All these, from the security perspective, are described in these two publications. There are more within tactics that describe the entire architecture, but in a very high level. From our side, we have these two. The first one describes each of these components and the interactions between these components as services, not as a policy, but as services. And we also started investigating how we can potentially apply the same methodology into facilitating both QS and security decisions, in the sense that at the moment what happens is QS makes a decision, picks a route, let's say, and then we come as security and we say, yeah, no, not this one, because there is a node that you have included that is potentially compromised, so pick something else. And then it goes back and we go in this loop. So we started this investigation on how we can facilitate this process using the same system. The third component is the security policy itself. So this is the security policy framework that has been developed, and this here you can see, here you can see the model, and here you can see how the components of the model are mapped into the services. So what we have, or how this came to be. We have the capabilities which correspond to military capabilities, and there is a NATO capability view, and according to the NATO capability view, we developed the tactics capability view, and this contains components like fire support, blue force tracking, targeting, and so on. So this is what these capabilities means. And there are the domains that have been extracted and have been developed according to our initial risk analysis on what we need to support. So what happens in this intersection is that domains are like protection, detection, diligence, response, and so on, management, and so on. So what happens in this intersection is that I want to protect message transmission. This is what this says. And within this intersection, which is here, we have a set of actions that we can take. Like, it can be encryption, and I have different algorithms available locally in the node. So I can use this one, this one, this one, or I can take a set of actions. So once we have identified that we can take a set of actions, which is happening at the security handling service, these are prioritized. So we select the best that we can currently support, given our resources. Okay? And for each of these actions, in the policy decision point and the policy management service, we have these equations that we discussed. It's a prioritized set of rules. And what happens in these two services is to say, at this moment, I can reason. Yes?
The rules, are they priors? And are they updated as the system evolves?
No. They are deployed at the mission preparation stage. They can be updated. The functionality to update the policy using data mules, like UAVs flying on top and updating, this can happen. This has been integrated in the sense that we can deploy sensors in the middle of the desert and nobody's going to go there. But in the common scenario, they are deployed in the mission preparation stage. So we have the rules, and in these two services, as we discussed earlier, we observe the environment. We observed the fact that I, as a user, am using this node. This node belongs to that network. And this node, a service that is deployed in here, generates a piece of information while I'm using it, and it sends it out through that network. We capture all this information, or as much as we can, depending on the node capabilities, here. And using these components and the rule stack, we extract a policy decision which is sent afterwards to the policy enforcement point for enforcement in the processing pipeline. Here, there is always an escape rule, pre-established decision saying that if I need to negotiate whether a node is compromised, sometimes I might not care in a tactical scenario. I just want the message to go. That's all. But if I cannot reason, if I don't have the capacity to make the process and make an elaborate decision, at the end here in the lowest priority is always an escape policy rules that says yes, no, something so simple. So the policy framework is described in these three publications. The first one is an initial description of... this one is... describes how this is organized within, is deployed within the services, and how it is actually deployed to be integrated into the system. Another component, going back to how we deployed it in the nodes, is this one. And this describes, because we identified at that point that this is going to be heavy for some types of nodes. So we identified constraints, and we and the method based on constraint optimization, to deploy, how do we deploy the network attributes? How do we deploy the nodes? Because if we have a convoy going on, there are going to be different people in there, different types of nodes. They don't need to serve the same purposes. they don't belong to the same group, and they don't have the same operational objectives. So each one of them takes a small part of it. And as a system, they work together. So this is described in this article. And after we do that, because this creates another problem, which is what happens if we don't agree? What happens if I have some value for your trust level, for the next hope's trust level, and you have a different one? And we need to negotiate where to send from. So in this article, we identified what can, where these divergences can occur, in what sort of elements within the database or within the ontology, and how we can resolve that in an efficient way. It's still going to happen, but resolve and negotiate in order to improve the function, to maintain the functionality. Okay? So, the big question, does it work? And, yeah, took 3 years, 12 institutions across Europe. We had many simulations. This is where it all started after the initial testing. 4 laboratory demonstrations and 1 field demonstration when we were running around with vehicles in a field in Germany and so on. Yes. So it works. And this is not available yet. And through tactics for the entire architecture, there will be more publications coming. From our side, this is what is coming. And it describes, this is based on what we did in the demo and what functionalities has been proven to work and how the deployment happened. I must note here again, the goal of tactics was to provide a proof of concept that SOA can work in a realistic tactical environment. And this has been proven. Okay, and because PhDs have a lot of free time, in general, these are some extras, and there's a main contributor there as well. Yes, so there that you will see in the thesis in a few months. So, a survey on security vulnerabilities of cellular communication systems, and 2 usability studies. It's not usability studies, it's user modeling. User modeling and expert modeling. And you received, you might remember that you received a request to participate in a survey here, and I suggest you have a look because it's very interesting results. Okay, so with that, thank you very much and hope to see you at the defense.
Question?
Please.
No, I was asking the audience.
Double down?
Yeah.
But, okay, you can. As you mentioned, the nodes are resource constrained and distributed. So, how the communication? Are they using synchronous or asynchronous communication?
Depending on
the communication, the message communication.
Depends. When we have connectivity, when you have connectivity. So synchronous. When you don't have connectivity, you send it and hope. But it's not our. The QoS and message delivery was worked by our police partners mainly. We focus on security. But knowing from the project, I can tell you that, yeah, we create how the network is envisioned, the entire network is envisioned, is that we have HQ here, and we have SATCOM to the field, to the area of operation, and in the area of operation, we have a set of LAMs. When we have a central node, which can be a vehicle that has SATCOM and so on, and then it distributes locally. And we have gateways between the two. Okay? So we have SATCOM, VHF, UHF in here. So depending on available bandwidth and depending on constraints and current conditions.
My question is maybe a bit rare. Now, this is for tactical level.
Yeah.
Which means it's pretty, it sounds to me as pretty sophisticated for a company or a battalion. Who is going to use that there at that level? You need an engineer for this.
They don't, they are completely blind to it. They just take their nodes as it was, because in the demonstration and in the laboratory, we used tactical radios, existing tactical radios from used by French and German armies. So the system that is in there, the middleware, tactics, the tactics TSI, the tactical service infrastructure that we deployed, is just there doing its job. The soldier just talks
so
or sends an SMS.
They don't have anything to do with that.
No. There is going to be army engineers, let's say, at the mission preparation stage that they need to deploy the policies and they need, but they are qualified and they do it once. And then someone takes the radio and go.
And did you try that with jamming?
Yes, because when we were having the demo, someone in the same area was having was testing a radar, which was very suddenly.
Well, I meant real jamming with for example, jammers deployed, small devices deployed everywhere in a meeting.
No. But it was tested in the field in the sense that it was real radio equipment and people were running around and there was lack of connectivity. And we had actually the jamming from these guys doing their own tests. And it worked as it would work in the field, which means when there was jamming, it didn't work.
Okay. A small question about verifying the policy rules and the setup. So the engineers come together, then before the tactical mission is kind of started, they plan all the policies and plan all the responsiveness of the system. So how you make sure that all those rules are consistent, that you don't have inconsistencies or contradictions in the set of rules, so then once it is actually happening, you know, the system suddenly, you know, goes out of control in a sense.
Yeah, this is actually very important to maintain operability. There are the same way we maintain consistency in an ontology. So if they know, normally there will be experts in semantic web technologies and they will apply the same tools because it's the same theory applied. So once we build an ontology and we are sure that it is consistent and there are no contradictions and so on, we put it on. So it's the same tools. Nothing changed in that matter. Anything more?
So if this is a security policy, how would you use it to improve security here at NTNU?
We don't need that at NTNU. That's killing a fly with a cannon. No, we don't need that at NTNU. It can still be used. It can still be used because, but you don't need to go there. There are other policy frameworks like you have Chaos, Ponder, Ray, and they're built for enterprise or not that sort of environment. This is built to work there. So if
my question was more about the definition of the security
policy. I knew that. But in a system level.
Yeah.
In a system level. So we know, I know we have different ideas about what a security policy is. So in a system level, the IT department building the same way that you build the policy for our network. It's the same thing. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.